So, The Wolf, can you tell us more about the band?
What do you want to know?
How did you meet the two brothers, and what was the core of the project at the beginning?
So let's go back 12 years? No, let's go back more. I think I was 11 when I met Pablo. It was at a children's singing group, you know, 20, 30 kids, I think. They were singing pop songs, and a guy playing as a conductor and teaching them the songs, and there was a band that played the music so the children could sing, and Pablo was playing in a band, and I joined in, and that's how I met Pablo. And I think, yeah, years later, that's 12 years ago now, they invited me to come and jam with them. So that's what we did, and we jammed for hours and hours, and we thought, this is pretty cool. And the initial idea for our band was to make like surf music. We were really into this movie Pulp Fiction, and we liked the Dick Dale soundtrack, so we wanted to be a surf band. But in the when we started playing together, we instantly realized, okay, this is not what comes out when we play together. We must not choose the music that we want to make. We just have to play together and see what comes out, and that's what we've been doing for 12 years now.
All right. Yourself, do you come from within your family, everything, your musical background, or...?
No, nothing. But the two brothers, their dad things, and also plays in a band, so that's... They have some musical education, but for me, no. None of my family is musically educated at all.
All right, and the second question, why did you choose especially keyboard and not another, the guitar or bass or something else?
Well, I started playing guitar at first because I thought, I can carry a guitar anywhere and I like playing music. And then I bought this keyboard from a friend of mine, and I was more into playing the keyboard than the guitar, so my parents asked if I wanted to switch, so I switched to playing piano, and then the teacher taught me some classical music like Bach and Mozart, and, you know, Pablo and Luca asked me to come jam with them, and I'm like, man, I can only play piano classical stuff, and piano is, it's not cool in the band, I thought, but then I saw this instrument live. I saw a band playing live in the town where I'm from, and that guy had a keyboard instrument. I didn't know what it was, but it had a rotating speaker and a really cool sound, and that was a Hammond organ.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, this is cool to play in a band. So that's when I started to play with The Wolf, and that's 12 years ago now that I started playing the Hammond organ.
Okay. So when the project started to become serious, at some point you have to find a name for the band, and so why did you choose The Wolf?
Well, as I said, we were really into the movie Pulp Fiction, and there's this one scene where they're calling Mr. Wolf to solve problems.
Okay.
And Samuel L. Jackson goes like, "You're sending in The Wolf?" And we thought it sounded cool. Again, you know, we were 17, 16, and 12 years old, so we thought, we like this movie, let's name this band this. We didn't really give it too much thought, we just thought it was cool, and after 12 years, I'm still happy with it.
All right. And another thing about the internal, like, you want to say, life of the band, is it weird or special to kind of work with two brothers who may have some special bond, and you being the, I would say, outsider?
Well, it doesn't feel like that. It has never been. Because I think Pablo and me, we're closer to each other if you look at age. Like, I'm 29 now, Pablo's 28, and Luca is a little bit younger. So in that way, maybe I'm a little bit closer to Pablo, but, you know, they're brothers, so it always has felt like one big family.
Okay.
And they don't argue at all. We argue, with the three of us argue, but it's not that they, because they are brothers, they argue more or anything.
Okay.
And I'm really happy that they're brothers, because Luca is singing more and more, and their voices, they blend really well together.
All right.
Because they are brothers.
Sure.
Yeah.
And maybe as a collective question for you, and maybe if you know the answer for the guys, never had the feeling of being born in the wrong time, like 50 years too late?
It would be really cool to live in the 60s or 70s, you know, but I'm really happy with how things work today also. Like the way it's really easy to connect with the world and spread your music all around and... it's really nice how stuff. I also love technology, so I'm really happy with the world as it is right now. But it's really sad. Like, I don't go to a lot of concerts because there just isn't a lot playing near my city that I like, and that would have been very different in the 60s and 70s, I guess. But then again, you know, what we do now is pretty special, and I know that if we would make the music that we make now in the 60s or 70s, maybe people didn't really like it. I don't know. I'm kind of happy.
Okay.
living right now.
Good. If we come back in the past a little, is there for you a souvenir or an event or anything that would... in your mind, sum up the whole period around Thrust?
Around Thrust or Tascam Tapes?
No, around the previous album, Thrust.
Ah, previous. Ooh. Let me think about that. That's a long time ago, again.
Last year, basically?
Last year. the album.
You can answer me no, and there's nothing that's stuck in your mind especially, but...
We recorded that album in the studio, which is really cool. You know, we have an analog studio at home, and we did everything in that place. We locked ourselves up there, and months later, an album came out. But the cool thing about this new album is that it has more of a story and a concept.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, okay, let's do this on the road. Let's do it on cassette. And that's pretty much what we needed, because our previous, this first album is like, okay, let's make a new record. Let's write the best songs possible. Let's record it the best way we can and release it. Doesn't really have a story. It's more like giving everything you have, and with this new album it has more of a cool, funny story concept, so I have way more anecdotes to look back at for the new record.
Alright, we'll come back to it in a minute. You kind of, as a band, you kind of release a lot in a short period of time, a lot of releases, albums, live and so on. No fear of any, blank page syndrome or exhaustion at some point?
No. Well, after the Tascam Tapes tour, we were a little bit exhausted because of all the free time we have on tour that you need to be resting. We put into writing and recording the new record. But I don't get scared. When we started writing Thrust, for example, we came together in the rehearsal room. We were like, okay, we got to write a new album. And we were pretty nervous, like, okay, it's been a long time since we recorded it, wrote something new. But, you know, when we start playing together with the intention of making something new, always something new comes out. So,
okay.
No, I'm not scared.
Okay. As you mentioned, so the Tascam Tapes, you have a really unusual philosophy, like the peak of do-it-yourself.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Yep.
Hey, I'm sorry. Okay. Picture is finished.
Don't worry for that. So my question was, so as you mentioned, the philosophy around Tascam tapes is unusual, and so it's really the peak of do-it-yourself.
Yeah, it's you know, the album cover says we this is the Wolf's new album. We recorded it on the road for less than $50.
Yes,
but it sounds like $1 million. That's kind of like how you surmise it. We didn't have a lot of resources. We did it on cassette, and we made an awesome album. So, yeah, it is a pretty cool statement. I think, like, the Thrust album is more do-it-yourself because we did it in our own studio that we built ourselves, and we mixed it ourselves, and this record was mixed by somebody else. So I wouldn't say this is the pinnacle of do-it-yourself, but more like the thing that you don't need a fancy studio. To me, it proved that the Wolf is more than... to me, it proved that the Wolf can also make a cool album without a Hammond organ, without a drum kit, without loud amplifiers and a fancy studio. We can make a Wolf record on cassette on the backseat of a van. That's basically what it means to me.
Okay. Maybe it wasn't conscious, but is that also possible that it's a reaction compared to the months spent in studio working with the famous producer for The Wolf 4?
You mean Grandson and Electric?
Or Grandson Electric, yeah, maybe, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You experienced the big studio, time spent there, big producer, and so on, and so it seemed to be that the opposite the direction.
Yeah. So after Grandson and Electric, we realized working with Mark Neal was amazing. He's an awesome guy and made an awesome record. But we also noticed that we are very stubborn and we have a lot of ideas ourselves. So we thought, okay, let's try and make the next record ourselves. So then came Rougarou, which we recorded ourselves, and after that Thrust. So Tascam Tapes isn't a reaction on working with a producer, but Rougarou is, and Thrust is. And Tascam Tapes is more a reaction to Thrust, where we write and record everything ourselves in our own studio in a safe environment, but now we have to get out of our comfort zone and try something completely different.
Okay. In general, in the band, how does the creative process works?
It's different every album. For example, with Thrust, we went to the studio and jamming and came up with riffs, and Pablo comes with a riff, or I come with a riff, or Lucas starts drumming, and then we try then we notice somebody plays something cool, and we say, yeah, that's nice, let's use that and elaborate on that. Then that's how a song gets made, and we record a demo, and then we listen to it a week after. We have some new ideas, and we try to use one idea and another idea from another song and combine them together to make a better song. But with the Tascam Tapes, we had a lot of ideas on cassette, which is not easy to listen back to because you have to find it. You have to rewind and forward all the time. So after the tour, we listened to everything we made, and we're like, so there are some songs completed. So we have like 15 song ideas now, and that's when we really tied the album together. Like, these songs are good, these aren't. And usually we don't elaborate on a song when we don't really like it, but with the cassette, it was kind of different.
Okay. So for Task and Tapes, there's, I think, if I remember well, 12 or 13 songs on the record. Did you kind of work more songs and then they were dropped the final track list, or you just finalized these songs?
No, we also have some songs that are finished but didn't make the records because we just didn't feel that they were good enough. And there's this one song where we already kind of wrote it before we went on tour, and Pablo recorded it on tour on his acoustic guitar in a stairwell with a really nice acoustic. It sounded like a church in a stairwell. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice, but it didn't make the record because it didn't fit really well in all the other songs.
Okay. One of the characteristic of your music is that most of the songs are very short, like immediate and catchy. Could you imagine to kind of work around an epic 25-minute song like prog rock or stuff like that, or it's not really your style?
We did that on The Wolf 4.
Yes.
So The Wolf actually kind of changed. I wouldn't say that Wolf is making short songs and to the point, because that's what we did with the Tascam tapes, because we had limited resources. But on our first EP, it's like a 15-minute song. On our second album, our fourth album actually has a rock opera of 20 minutes. The complete B-side is one song with a lot of string arrangements. It's pretty prog rock.
Okay.
You should listen to it. It's called A Mind Slip.
Yeah, I should. I missed that. So there it was more the difficult condition you put yourself in that kind of make you go short?
Yeah. Yeah, because we didn't have... We only had a drum sampler which contained a few drum samples. That's what we had to use to make the songs. And I had a synthesizer that I didn't really knew how to use. Because if we had a normal drum kit and a Hammond organ and in our comfort zone, we can make very long, interesting songs. But now it's like we're in a van. We only have half an hour left until we arrive at the venue, so we gotta finish this song quick.
Okay.
And that's because we limited ourselves. I think the songs became shorter and more to the point, and I think stronger in a way.
Mm-hmm. You created your own company, your own label, Electrosaurus Records. Was it like a need for you in terms for to have a full control of your business, or was it maybe to produce other artists? Well, what was the idea behind this project?
Well, first the idea was that we had for a long time in the early years, we had a manager that was also a record label, and we parted ways with him, so we were on our own, and we thought, okay, we wanted to release a record, so let's make our own record label. And the idea was to release other bands on it too, but Pablo, he records different bands in our studio, and what we do on Electrostars Records, for I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago on Record Store Day, we released a compilation album of a lot of stuff that Pablo different bands that he recorded in the studio, kind of like a best of. And next Record Store Day we're gonna release volume 2 on that album. Thrust is the first album that we released on the new record label, Mascot.
Yes.
And also Tascam Tapes is going to be released on Mascot. But all the previous albums we released through our own record label. So, because, those albums are already made, and we don't need a record label to release them because they're already released. We just have our own record label, and we have the records pressed, and then we distribute them and put some nice colors on it. It's like we don't need a label for the old albums. that's basically it. We have our own label.
So working with Mascot is a way for you to reach more potential people?
Yeah, definitely. They're helping a lot. You know, we're having a press day in Paris as we speak. We didn't used to have that. They can organize for us to come to Paris for one day and then have 30 interviews in a row. We can't do that with our own label.
All right. Good. How did you manage the lack of a real cover picture for the... You chose to emphasize the fact that Tescan Tapes is a weird, there's an unusual philosophy behind it?
Yeah, definitely. And we thought it would be really weird to have a really fancy cover art with the Tescan Tapes, because we didn't record it fancy, and it's just us three in the backseat with not a lot and making an album. So we thought the artwork also had to be really simplistic. That's when we made this.
Okay.
And also we wanted to explain to the people when they look at the album, we wanted to explain in a couple of words what the album is all about. And I think we did a good job. And it's also supposed to be funny.
Yeah, no, it's... You reached all the goals, so that's nice.
Yeah.
You released video clips for It Ain't Easy and Blood Meridian 1.
Yeah.
Is that an exercise you kind of like yourself? And especially the second one, Blood Meridian 1, was, for what I read, a very, again, spontaneous decision?
Yeah, very true. We had a photo shoot. The artwork of Tascam Tapes, the idea came from ourselves, but we found a graphic designer in America that made it look really cool, and he also designed our backdrop for on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, let's have some wetsuits, go with that, that'll look really cool on stage. So we were going to have a promo shoot for that, for promo photos. And then the day before, Pablo said, let's rent a camera. I'll ask my wife to film us when we play the song. And that's what we did. And then the cool video clip came out.
And it's only one take, or...?
No, we did it a couple of times.
Okay.
We played the song a couple of times, and then she filmed it from different angles, and then Pablo edited it, and voila.
You like this exercise, or it's a necessary pain?
No, we like thinking of cool ideas to, you know, The Wolf is more about making the music. It's also about how the artwork looks and how the video clip looks. Also, It Ain't Easy is, it's completely our own idea, and then some guy, he's a really cool camera guy, he filmed everything and edited everything to make our idea come to life.
Do you have the project for other video clips for this album?
No, not yet.
Not yet, all right.
No.
To my two last questions, what's your expectation for the upcoming weeks, especially the European tour?
Well, that's starting in February.
Mm-hmm.
The album's going to be released 10th of January.
Yes.
So for now, until that time, I think we're going to do more interviews. And we're going to rehearse a lot to play those songs live on a drum kit and a Hammond organ, because we've never done that before.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do for the upcoming weeks. And then we're going to tour in February, France and Spain. And then in March, we're doing Germany. And then we're going to do some festivals in the summer, which are still going to be confirmed.
All right, so you're booked until the end of summer minimum?
Yeah.
Good. And just my last question, what's your point of view in general about the Dutch rock scene?
I'm starting to like it. It's different from a couple of years ago. There are a lot of cool bands now, and Pablo is recording a lot of them in the studio. That's why we were able to release a compilation album, and Yeah, the rock scene and the southern rock scene and the psychedelic scene is growing really well, and there are some amazing bands. Also bands like Altingun, they're like half Turkish, half Dutch. They play these 70s Turkish songs, and they play them in their own way. And yeah, there's a lot of cool bands in Holland as we speak. Really happy.
Great. Thank you very much for this interview. Appreciate it.
So
my best wishes for the weeks to come, the upcoming tour, and have a safe journey back to the Netherlands.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.